listening to WCNO Palm City.
Good morning, and I'm Rhett Palmer, and it is a new day. Mike Novotny, Pastor Mike Novotny, is on the line. Good morning, Pastor. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Rhett. Thanks for having me today. Okay. Yeah, so what do you think? Should we break down those six threats and just kind of see where the conversation goes?
Please, I'm really excited to hear this. I really am.
Yeah, so pride, it's pretty interesting. Jesus says sometimes the seed of God's word goes out, and Jesus says, but people don't understand it. You know, it's like this seed bounces on a piece of cement, and whoop, the birds come in. No growth, no fruit, no maturity, no nothing. But if you keep reading the details, Jesus doesn't mean, well, I don't understand it because I'm new to church, or you know, my pastor uses these big words that I really don't understand. That's not it. Jesus is actually quoting back to Isaiah 6, where Isaiah was trying to preach to the people of Israel, and they didn't understand it. And the reason why was because they didn't want to. You know, I picture when my parents had to lecture me as a teenager, and I'm sitting there and I'm hearing it, but I don't want to understand it. I don't want to apply it. I know what they're saying is going to challenge and change me. And so I'm kind of hardening my heart to the truth that's coming in.
And so, until you've painted yourself in a corner and you go, I don't want to be here. I want to. We had a little flexibility, a thing called humility.
That's spot on. Yeah. So the question I ask is there anything that if you went to church on Sunday and the pastor said, hey, everyone, we're going to talk about blank. Is there anything you could put in that blank that you'd be kind of on your guard against, defensive about, wishing you had skipped that Sunday? You know,
I'm at a different age where I probably would. I don't mind being admonished. But a love of self is hard. Or here's one. Anyone who loves mother, father, wife, husband, or children more than me is not worthy of me. I've had a hard time. Now I'm an older guy. And my mother and I, my stepfather, my brother, we had real love, a real loving. It was just a small group, but they're all gone now. And here I am left alone. And so Mike, it's very hard for me to look at you and we should cultivate a friendship to really take you in. And, you know, because we got this thing, blood's thicker than water and all that stuff. Well, people don't know the actual meaning of that. I just found out recently from another pastor, is not that that our blood is thicker than water. It's that the water represents the birth, the water that comes forth from the birth, and the blood represents the DNA or the blood of Jesus. So actually, as a pastor said recently, you and I actually are closer brothers than even my brother Scott, who I loved endlessly. Because we are connected eternally through the DNA of Jesus. And loving my mother. And so I have to think, well, I say, Jesus, I don't know you as well as I know my mom. Okay, yes, I was born again in my living room. I felt your peace. I've gone into a funeral and felt your wonderful peace that passes understanding. But do I really know you? Maybe I heard his voice once or twice. And I go, okay, so... You know, I know you know my name, so you can never say you didn't know me, by the way. So he called me by name once. And it's like, but I still say, how do I love you? Okay, so you've taken everybody away, and here I am naked, hurting, grieving forever, and going, okay, so you're really my real family, but, you know, and Mike, I'm you're my brother in the Lord, but it's hard because, you know, we have this thing where, you know, it's like you go out and act like a grandfather to a child. It's like you're never fully accepted, but if you're part of the family, suddenly if you're an uncle or you're a grandpa, suddenly you're in. And, you know, if you and I were brothers and I made a really bad mistake, well, you know, Rhett's my brother. I'm absolutely committed to him. I'm married to him. I'll take him back. Whereas as a friend like this, you go, I don't want to see that guy.
Yeah.
So that's the one that you asked me, I'm telling you, is the one that disturbs me the most. He who is not willing, who does not love me above mother, father, wife's children, et cetera, is not worthy of me. Whew, that's a tall order.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't think Jesus is saying here, if you feel challenged or admonished by a scripture, I think what he's saying is if you feel so challenged that you don't even want to talk about it, like,
yeah.
the devil's going to snatch that up before it can do anything. So you might be sitting there in church, but if you don't have ears to hear it, if you don't have a humble posture to say, okay, God, this is really hard for me, but you're God, you're always working for my good. You didn't make up this scripture to sabotage my life or take my happiness. So give me ears to hear, give me good soil of a heart to receive this and not just reject it from the start, because it's going to be difficult for me to put it into practice.
Let's turn it on you. Now I could say, okay, so a typical guy, like a friend of mine, David, he might say, looking at a woman with lust, whether you're married or not. Women, God knew what he was doing when it came to procreation. He made them beautiful, and we are absolutely seduced by our eyes. What would you say is your, what do they call it, a besetting sin? What is yours, Mike?
And we're let's get into the deep end right away, Red. I like it. I think actually choosing people above productivity is, I'm a super type A. I should show you this. I have my my calendar with me.
Yeah.
Promise you won't make fun of me if I show you something.
No.
So this is, I call this the master checklist. So these are all my goals for the year and boxes that I check every single day.
Oh my word.
So I'm really good at being productive and getting stuff done. But what happens when someone from church or someone in my family, they're not on my schedule and they're hurting and they need time and they need compassion and they don't just need a quick, here's a Bible passage to fix it, see you later. What happens when I have to put this aside and actually choose the person instead of my plans?
Ooh. Oh, you have to move the queen aside and take the pawn. Pay attention to it.
Yeah. So that, I mean, when I think about sins that happen too often is, you know, I'm rushing to the next thing to have a productive day. And I'm forgetting often to let God interrupt my schedule.
Like Martha, Martha, thou art mindful of many things, but Mary hath found a better thing, and that which she has found shall not be taken from her. Martha was busy, shall we make food for everybody? And Mary was at the feet of Jesus, and Martha was correcting Mary that she should, join her. And that's when Jesus said that.
Spot on. Yep. So pride. Do I have a humility to hear this? And if not, Jesus says the evil one is going to snatch up the seed of God's word, and nothing's going to happen. So that's threat number one.
Yeah.
Ready for number two?
Yes, sir.
All right. Number two is pain. Jesus says sometimes people receive the word with joy. Like they receive it. They love it. Oh my goodness. I'm saved by grace. Jesus did everything. It's finished. Eternal life. God accepts me. God likes me. His face is shining. This is amazing. People love it. Except sometimes when you leave church or when you leave the quietness of your own devotional life, you step into a world where the people that you really like and respect don't like and respect Jesus. And then just like the hot sun kind of starts to wither that initial joy and excitement, that can happen to, I think, a lot of kids who are raised in Christian homes, you know, and it was all Jesus. And then they go out into this world, and now suddenly you're outnumbered, and now suddenly people don't love the Bible or the exclusiveness of Jesus's teaching or the sexual ethic of the scriptures. You know, so there's all these things where, it started with passion.
They hate him. He said, the world hates me because I show them that their deeds are evil, more today than ever. Nobody wants an absolute.
Yeah, you're spot on. And so what will happen when I'm not in the comfort of a Christian fellowship community, but I'm out there, I'm with my family, I'm with my friends, will I choose Jesus or will I choose their acceptance and approval? And the pain that he says sometimes trouble or persecution come because of the word. So not because you're doing anything wrong, but because you're doing things right and holding to the word. That can mess
with you. He says, if you deny me before man, one day I'll deny you before my father. But if you acknowledge me before man, one day I'll acknowledge you before my father. Are you embarrassed? I was embarrassed by the name of Jesus before I became a Christian. Hmm. Somebody started talking about Jesus. I was like, oh no. Is anybody listening?
Yeah, exactly. I love, there's a story I retell. Have you ever heard of Beckett Cook before?
I don't know.
Yeah, he lived out in Hollywood. He and his friends hated Christians. They mocked Christians. They thought they were bigoted and judgmental and homophobic. And one day he and his buddy, I think, are having breakfast or brunch, and they see this group of Christians having a Bible study at the restaurant they're at. And the Bible study breaks up and there's just one Christian left at a table. And so Beckett and his friend go over to kind of like pounce and, you know, pressure this guy and make fun of him. And the guy turns around and he invites Beckett to church. Well, Beckett comes to church. He's like, well, whatever, I'll try. And the pastor is preaching on Romans 7. You know, the good things I want to do, I don't do them. The bad things I don't want to do, I keep doing them. And Beckett's like, who's going to rescue me? I can't even keep my own promises. So what does God think of me? And the pastor just preaches the gospel. And it's the most amazing story. The Holy Spirit just thumps Beckett right in the heart. And he goes from critic and mocker of Christianity to born again in that second.
Wow.
Except now Beckett, who a couple of days ago was making fun of Christians with his friends, is going back to his friends as a Christian.
Ooh.
Yeah. And he wrote a book called A Change of Affection. And he has this really great line, I'm paraphrasing, but basically how he made it through that moment with his faith is he said, I just met the God of the universe. What did anything else matter?
Yeah.
Like, my friend might not like me, but my friend is like some 40-year-old dude from Wisconsin. So what? We're talking about God, like the glorious God of Israel who gave his only son for me. Like he is so much better. He's so worthy and he's so worth it. So even if it's painful, even if my friends don't like my faith, I'm going to stick with Jesus because he's worthy of anything I would suffer for him.
I think those of us who have had a true conversion experience, and each one has to define that for themselves, would you go to the guillotine or would you deny the name of Jesus? I know what I've experienced. I would hate to have to do that, but I'm not denying Jesus. It isn't happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, maybe the bigger test as a Christian are the smaller moments. If I had to take a bullet, if someone said, are you a Christian or not? You're going to die.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm off to heaven.
Like that little girl at Columbine.
Yeah. But it's the smaller moments where, you know, it's honestly, it's pretty easy for me to talk big and courageous when I'm preaching in front of a few hundred fellow Christians. But when I'm out at the soccer field and, you know, none of my friends really go to church, ooh, you know, then standing up for what's right, then sharing my faith makes me a little more nervous than it was on Sunday morning. And so I think all of us kind of feel the hot sun of people's disapproval and makes us sweat a little bit. And it's a real spiritual test on a frequent basis.
Forgive me for going down this rabbit hole, but who are you? I don't really know you. How do we? Were you converted as a child to Jesus? Were you an adult? Would you give us a concise version of your testimony?
Yeah, I can. I was raised by a really great Christian mom who from day one just was bringing me every single Sunday. So my mom would tell you that she's not a great Christian and she doesn't know how I became a pastor, but just her faithfulness. So I cannot remember a time in my life when I did not know that it was Jesus, you know, saved by grace through faith in Jesus, not my works. It's his work on the cross, his resurrection from the grave. I'm one of those really blessed people who can't remember what it's like to not believe that.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.